We are all set up, ready to go.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it.
Restarting just a moment. Thanks.
98743 and on the radio in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL in Hammocks, Miami. In Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ in Alexandria, 1360 AM KNIR in New Iberia, 89.7 FM KBIO in Natchitoches, and 91.1 FM KOJO in Lake Charles. In Mississippi on 88.1 FM WOLM in D'Iberville, Biloxi. In Ohio on 1600 AM WULM in Springfield with translator W277AO 103.3 FM in Enon, Dayton, and 88.7 FM WHJM in Anna. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN in Hollidaysburg, Altoona. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI in Port Arthur. And in Wisconsin at 91.3 FM WRMW in Peshtigo.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's time now for The School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity and want to welcome all priests, sisters, deacons, brothers and sisters of the divine will and oblates to this, The School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. We are so blessed. So blessed to have awakened today and truly so blessed to be alive at this time. So we're going to begin with our prayer, and our prayer is going to be in the form of a supplication. We're not going to use our normal supplication because, again, we're in the wake of the Feast of St. Faustina, and I'd like to open with a quote from Volume 1 as our opening supplication. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May everything be for the honor and glory of God, and to me, all the confusion. O Holy Spouse, come to my help. In considering the many graces you have given to my soul, I feel all horrified and frightened, all full of confusion and shame at seeing myself still so bad and unrequiting of your graces. But my loving and sweet Jesus, forgive me. Do not withdraw from me, but continue to pour your graces into me, that you may make of me a triumph of your mercy. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love the way that ends. Make me a triumph of your mercy. Let me introduce Mother and the sisters, because again, I'm going to go off on a dialogue. I don't want to do that. Hello, Mother, sisters.
Hello, Peter, and everybody out there. Hello. Nice to be with you again.
Yes, in this wake of the feast of Sister St. Faustina. Yesterday, actually, I have to admit, unfortunately, it caught me a little bit by surprise. But what a glorious gift that God has given us in divine mercy. And you know, it's so interesting too, Mother. The correlation. I mean, well, first of all, everything is under the umbrella of the divine will. We recognize that. Jesus explains that in a myriad of different ways. And of course, the divine mercy was just a response to Louisa's request. But I think, you know, with respect to the divine mercy and divine will, it really brings us to those really important articles of our Catholic Catechism, Article 66 and Article 67, because they really open the door for, for church-approved mystical experiences. I like to repeat it because, again, I don't think we can ever repeat it often enough. Article 66, which is probably one of our greatest defenses when somebody perhaps does not want to embrace the divine will. And it states, quote, "The Christian economy, therefore, since it is the new and definitive covenant, will never pass away. And no new public revelation is to be expected before the glorious manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, even if revelation is already complete, it has not been made completely explicit. It remains for the Christian faith gradually to grasp its full significance over the course of the centuries. End quote. And then we couple that with Article 67, which states, quote, it is not so-called private revelation's role to improve nor complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help live more fully by it in a certain period of history. End quote. So Article 66 and 67 really opened the door to this breath of fresh air that our Lord wants to bring into our households. In fact, he's done so in such a myriad of different ways. He's given us, I think it's in volume 16, Mother, he states that everything he's given to us, all of nature, all of creation, the church, the sacraments, everything has been a means, a seed in which to bring us back to his design, which was the prelapsarian heir of Adam. And he's restoring us. He's bringing us back to that. Again, it's hard to put our hands around that. And especially when it comes to, certain gifts such as the Feast of Divine Mercy, which was so blessed. And again, we're in the wake. And, we know that when we're on the water, even if we miss the wave, we also can feel the wake. So I just thought your thoughts on the Divine Mercy
gift that God gave us. Was the prelude to divine will, actually, and if you read about the diary of Faustina, it's so beautiful, but God is so merciful. We don't forgive ourselves, but I think we can forgive ourselves in an easier way if we understand his mercy and his love for us. And I think, reading the diary of Faustina helps with that we don't beat ourselves up so much, that we realize God forgives completely. He even forgets, one saint was mentioned in a sin to our Lord, and she had confessed it. And he said, well, I don't remember that, but I was just reading something here in volume 13. This is October 6, 1921. He says, my daughter, sin is not just ugly, but horrible. It is the black point of man. As he sins, he undergoes a brutal transformation. All the beauty I gave him is covered with such ugliness as to be horrible to the sight. And it is not only the sense which sins, but the whole of man runs along with it. So sin is his thought, his heartbeat, his breath, his motion, his step. His will has dragged man to one single point, and from his whole being he emanates thick darkness that blinds him, and a poisonous air that poisons him. Everything is black around him. Everything is deadly. And whoever approaches him puts himself in a state of danger, horrible and frightening, such as man in the state of sin. And yet how ugly we become, and yet God forgives. He forgives all. Saint Therese, a little flower, she said, if she knew that God loved her so much and was so merciful that even if she committed every sin that would ever be committed, he would welcome home with open arms. He would forgive her. And so we have to know he's got that kind of love. All you have to do is be sorry. Sorry. And if you've committed mortal sin, confess it. But just even venial sin, they said every communion annihilates the venial sin. You're sorry for it, goes on to say, if man is horrible in the state of guilt, he is also beautiful in the state of grace and of doing good. Good, be it even the tiniest, is the bright point of man. As he does good, he undergoes a celestial, angelic, and divine transformation. His goodwill drags his whole being to one single point. Therefore, good is his thought, his word, his heartbeat, his motion, his step. Everything is light, inside and outside of him. His air is balmy and vital. And whoever approaches him places himself in safety. How beautiful, gracious, attractive, lovable. Striking is the soul in grace. In doing good, so much so that I myself remain enamored. Each good she does is one more shade of beauty that she acquires. It is a greater likeness to her creator, which makes her be distinguished as his child. It is divine power that she puts in circulation. All the goods she does are spokesmen between heaven and earth. They are the couriers, the electric wires, which maintain the communication with God. And that can happen in only a moment of sorrow for your sins. I don't care how dark they were, how bleak your past was, in one moment you can be forgiven with a true sense of sorrow and asking God's forgiveness. It's amazing. His mercy is unbelievable. The whole divine will writing is all about God's mercy, because it's so merciful for God to be willing to do acts within us and rounds within us. That's his mercy too. He gives us everything. It's all ours for the grabs, you know. He's so generous. So, you know, we can allow him to do these divine acts and rounds in us. And as we do that, we find it easier to practice virtue. We find it easier to die to ourselves. We find it's so easy now. Things don't bother us the same. We have more joy, more peace in our daily lives. We look at people in a different way. We love people in a different way because we're loving them with his love. You know, and you begin to not feel yourself as much. Louisa said that she didn't feel herself as much. You begin to lose interest in the earth, the things of the earth so much, and you're more in tune to the spiritual world, that you're longing for him. He becomes your all, and you long for him more and more. And that is his mercy also, because he gives you that longing. He gives you that longing to want him, to love him. So, you know, all you have to do is desire to love him, and you're loving him with his love. If you desire that, that's how generous God is. That's how merciful he is, that even though we're great sinners, he gives us all. He gives us everything we want. He's a loving father, and he loves his children immensely.
Yeah, it's as if, Mother, you know, sin has fogged up and dirtied our glasses, our spectacles. And we've been looking through those same lenses at life for 2,000 years. And then all of a sudden now the divine will comes and it's our Lord actually cleaning our glasses. And now we say, wow, we can see so much better. We can see really what God is giving us. And I think that's what the divine will does. It opens up the treasures that God wanted to give, is giving, and has given. Remember, I think it was in Matthew's gospel when he says to the apostles, there's much more I have to give you. But the time's not right. You're not yet disposed. So again, Article 66, gradually over the course of centuries, all this is going to make sense. And now he's come to the finale. This is it. I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you my will. There's nothing more I can give you, Mother.
Yeah. And, you know, as you read the Divine Will volumes, if you read these beautiful truths, you become more sensitive to your faults and your sins. So things you didn't realize you were doing before, you confess them, you realize, and you get the knowledge and the wisdom to understand and to know that, which helps you overcome those things in a greater way. Right. Because you're learning more about how to be charitable, how to love others. And you see where you are not charitable. You know, you see different points in your life that you didn't even realize before that you were doing that was uncharitable toward others, you know. So little by little, you know, you gradually are changing as you allow him to relive his life in you, you know. But, you know, God is so good. God is so merciful. And we have to just, trust in his mercy. If Judas would have trusted in his mercy, he could have been the greatest one of the apostles. But he blew it. He thought his sin was greater than God's mercy. And we can't ever think that our sins are greater than God's mercy. He loves us so much, he'll forgive all. So don't ever think your sins are so bad. Don't concentrate so much on your sins. Let them go after you confess them. Stop bringing them up. We don't. It's like vomiting. We keep on bringing up all these dirty things we did, you know. And, you know, after he's forgiven it, you got a clean slate. Go on, you know. Realize he forgave you. Don't keep looking back. Don't waddle in the mud. Pick yourself up and go forward, you know, and know that his mercy was there. His mercy forgave you. You don't have to think about it anymore. You know, if you keep thinking about it, sometimes you fall again and again and again in the same fault. But if you look at him rather than your faults and yourself, you're more likely not to commit those faults and those sins again.
Very true. You know, a great analogy with the vomiting, Mother, not to be digress, but no, seriously, if we take in, if we consume some bad food and we feel really, really bad, what's the greatest way to feel better? Well, to vomit and get rid of it, to get that bad out of us. And I think that's what God's doing also. And, you know, you mentioned about knowing ourselves. Jesus says that this book of heaven is going to allow us to know him, to know God, and to know ourselves, because it's so important to know ourselves. When we know ourselves, we're able to see our defects. a little bit more clearly than if we don't know ourselves. So again, if we don't know our defects, we don't know where to work. So God's pointing out, this is what you need. This is what you need. That's what you need. And now it's up to us, sister.
Yeah. As mother was talking about, you know, a lot of times when we keep thinking about our past sins, we sin more. I know that for me personally, that's 100% true. We kind of sit in our shame and think, you know, somehow that glorifies God, but you know, Jesus was stripped naked on the cross and he was stripped almost of all of his skin in the scourging. And then, you know, 3 hours of agony on the cross, like he took on all that shame. We don't have to take on that shame. Like mother said, all it takes is true and deep repentance and sorrow for our sin. And Jesus covers us with his blood and his love. So we don't have to fight that battle. It's not a battle he wants. And just another thing that struck me as mother was talking, as mother was reading from the passage in the Divine Will, and she was reading about how horrible sin is. It made me think of something that I read yesterday in Faustina's diary. It was paragraph 1486. And Jesus tells her, "My child, all your sins have not wounded my heart as painfully as your present lack of trust does. That after so many efforts of my love and mercy, you should still doubt my goodness." And then in a paragraph 1532, a little while later, Faustina writes, "Jesus complained to me of how painful to him is the unfaithfulness of chosen souls, and my heart is even more wounded by their distrust after a fall." So as horrible as all of our sins are, you know, our distrust is what wounds him the most. So and Jesus says that to Louisa so many times in the volumes, that our lack of confidence is the biggest block in growing in the divine will. Until we get to ourselves in that place of trust, we're never going to be able to move forward. Cause like mother was saying, we're going to stay in our shame and we're going to stay in our sin rather than look at him and find our courage and our strength in his love. And this other part struck me too, that my heart is even more wounded by their distrust after a fall. A lot of times we have this mentality. I know I do. Well, I can trust Jesus. Jesus, I trust you when I'm doing pretty good, quote unquote, when I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And then when I have a fall, it's those moments where it's like, oh, I fell again. You know, how can the Lord forgive me? How can, you know, he's upset with me. He's got to give me the silent treatment for a little bit. You know, we project our own things onto the Lord. But right here, after a fall, is when we need our greatest trust, because that's what mercy is. Mercy is undeserved love. And that's what Jesus wants to give us. And that is what's going to help us truly grow in the divine will and see others with that same love and mercy, because it's impossible to see others with love and mercy if we don't see ourselves the way Jesus sees us with love and mercy. Once we start to love ourselves because we see how he loves us, that's when we start to grow happier. That's when everything starts to become more beautiful. And that's when we can really, you know, see the beauty in others, even though there are faults there, because like you were saying, Peter, Jesus, you know, very vividly shows us our faults. He does it gently and with tremendous compassion, but he does show us our faults. But it doesn't become a stumbling block for us. It actually becomes a source of growing closer to him, because even though we're kind of feeling really ugly in our nakedness before him, he still gazes at us with such tremendous tenderness and tremendous strength. And with his fatherly love, he's saying, you know what, I see the whole you and I'm going to get you there. Just keep looking at me and trust in my love. So I really feel like mother said, like the divine mercy really was like a precursor to the divine will, because without that trust in God's love and mercy, we can't live in the divine will, and we certainly can't move forward in it.
That's right. You know, in volume 3, February 4th, 1900, our blessed Lord tells Luis and tells us also, quote, "Don't you know that lack of trust paralyzes the soul?" End quote. So right to your point there. And mother mentioned about in the last passage about the electric wire, you know, God's, you know, power, and then the power that he's conveying to us through his mercy. And trust is like the conduit, is like the casing of that wire. And Jesus also uses the analogy that, let me case you and let me bring you, you know, the conduit, the plug is the current's going to go wherever it's plugged in. So let God plug us into whatever outlet he wants to. Let trust be the conduit that's going to hold this power, God's power that he's conveying in us for all souls, past, present, and future. Again, this is miraculous, but God is so playful that he gives us these things that we look at each other and we say, how can this be? Or look what he just did. For example, Louisa Picaretta was born on April 23rd, 1865, the Sunday after Easter, which we know now as Divine Mercy Sunday. St. Faustina's Diary, number 299, our Lord says, quote, I desire that the first Sunday after Easter be the feast of my mercy. And how can you make, you can't make this stuff up. This is truly God in a playful mode, just giving us all of his love, all of his affection. And all we need to do is trust him so that we may energize what he's given us. Mother, sisters?
Yeah, I read somewhere too where the priest, when Louisa would go into this comatose state, the priest in the morning would come and call her out of the state. And he would say, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and the whole world. He would say that three times. And that wasn't really a known Divine Mercy prayer at that time, because Divine Mercy Sunday, we didn't know anything about it at that point, you know, or the Divine or the volumes, the writings of Faustina. So, you know, that was another sign that, you know, Divine Mercy was very important in Louisa's life.
That's incredible. It really is incredible when we think of it. I mean, we say it in passing. There's so many things that just jump out at us and just make us say, wow, God, thank you for all you do. And thank you for sister. Hi, sister.
Hi. So it's beautiful that divine mercy and divine will, they're two sides of the same coin. And the topic of divine mercy, it reminds me of what I once read in a novena to St. Teresa of Lisieux. I think it was a nine-day novena. So in one of the pages, St. Teresa of Lisieux writes about a story of a rabbit that was chased by a hunter. So there was this rabbit, and there are these dogs that were chasing the rabbit. And when this rabbit was finally cornered, the rabbit just jumped into the arms of the huntsman seeking mercy, and the huntsman, seeing that the rabbit wanted mercy and that it didn't want to be killed, it tenderly took care of the rabbit and didn't let anyone molest it. And that really reminded me of just like confession and just like turning to the Lord, like the prodigal son, and saying, Jesus, Papa God, have mercy on me. And as Mother and the sisters were saying earlier, it's so important to have trust in the divine mercy too, to trust that Jesus completely forgives and forgets our sins when we are truly sorry for them. And in volume 4, November 10th, 1900, Jesus tells Louisa about the most perfect love is in true trust in the beloved. Jesus tells Louisa, the most perfect love is in the true trust that one must have in the loved object. And even if it should appear that the object one loves is lost, then more than ever is the time to prove this living trust. This is the easiest means to take possession of that which one ardently loves. Having said this, both shadow and voice disappeared. Who can say the pain I feel for not having seen my beloved good? And reading this, it really reminded me of how Jesus tells her that then more than ever is the time to prove this living trust when it seems that the loved one is not there. So it's like the dark night of the soul. When you're in your darkest times in your life, when you're struggling with the fiercest temptations, when it seems that Jesus has abandoned you, even though Jesus never abandons us, that's when Jesus really wants to see how much do we really trust in him. And also, Our Lady of Medjugorje also said, reading the writings of Maria Voltorta is also very good, because throughout all the volumes, you can really see how much mercy Jesus had towards poor sinners. And in the volumes, like I remember reading ones, like the moment before Judas hung himself on the tree, Jesus was out on Calvary looking at him, willing to save him at the last moment if he just showed some repentance. But Judas, as Mother was saying earlier, believed that his sin was greater than God's mercy, so he hung himself on the tree. But it's just beautiful to see that even at the last moment, Jesus is willing to forgive us of our sins if we just have true repentance from the heart. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sister. You know, trust, Mother, you've mentioned trust. Sister Francesca, you've mentioned trust. And again, Jesus, I trust in you is the motto from Divine Mercy. And it's really the Divine Mercy is the divine will, and the divine will is God's divine mercy. I'd like to go into the break with a passage, an excerpt from a passage. And we're talking about trust. This is from Volume 11, April 10th, 1912. And this is our Blessed Lord speaking, quote, "My daughter, the souls who will shine the most, like bright gems in the crown of my mercy, are the souls who have more trust. Because the more trust they have, the more they make room for the attribute of my mercy to pour into them any grace that they want." End quote. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
I'm free to dream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. And speaking of Radio Maria, I want to just mention that the Fall Mariathon is closely creeping up on us, creeping up, not to divulge something in a creepy way, but in a nice way. Actually, I'm looking at these. I got a lot of emails today from Halloween, I guess, vendors there that want me to hang creepy stuff on the window. No, we want to hang God on our windows, crosses, and things of sacramental value. The Fall Marathon, Mariathon, is October 17th to the 21st. And as you know already, Radio Maria is totally 100% listener supported. So again, it's through our generosity that they can be live on air. And again, 24/7, 365 days a year, it's always there for us at every moment during dry times and those good times. And we need to support them. Now, also, we're going to be having a little incentive for anyone who can contribute and donate to Radio Maria during our program, during that Fall Mariathon. And we're going to mention it next week, but it's something really spectacular. It's a sacramental that we think will be of great value to everyone. And again, to help foster that trust in our blessed Lord, like the apostles had, and like all the devotees of all the different charisms that our church carries. So again, the Fall Mariathon, October 17th to the 21st. You don't have to wait till then. You can just call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. If you like this program and other programs, if you have the wherewithal and God has blessed you with the abundance financially, if you can do so to help out Radio Maria, that would be really, really great. And again, we say, Jesus, we trust in you. And I also trust that, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity. And Mother Gabriel Marie joins us with the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. They're coming to us live via live stream from Italy. And we're talking about the divine will, divine mercy, divine mercy, divine will. Everything under the divine will umbrella and his divine mercy is, in essence, the divine will. Back to you, Mother, sisters.
Yeah, and I think we want to grow in trust and trusting God. The best way is to read the divine will, try to live it, because it really improves your amount of trust that you have in him, because you're dying to yourself more and more. And as you die to yourself, you trust in God more. We trust in ourselves for so much. In our work, we think we have to do this. We do nothing. God does it all. We're tools. We're just tools in his hands for him to do his thing, his work. I was just reading here. This was in volume 14, October 6, 1922, our Lord was telling Luisa and the saints of the past how they had to grow in holiness through practicing virtue, through dying to themselves in a different way, you know, but he gave them the grace. He says, now my goodness wants to move further and wants to give in greater excesses of love, and therefore I want them to enter into my humanity and copy what the soul of my humanity did in the divine will. If the first ones cooperated with my redemption in order to save souls, to teach the law, to cast away sin, being limited within the centuries in which they lived, the second ones will go beyond, copying what the soul of my humanity did in the divine will. They will embrace all centuries, all creatures, and rising above all, will place in force the rights of creation which are due to me and which concern all creatures, bringing all things to the prime origin of creation and to the purpose for which creation was delivered. Everything is ordered in me. If I delivered creation, it must return to me ordered, just as it came out from my hands. What a great gift. How merciful God is to this generation to give us this tremendous gift. This is mercy. You know, I mean, there's so much sin in the world. How merciful God is with all the sinfulness all over the world, abortions, one-sex marriage, homosexuality, all this crazy stuff going on. And God is so merciful, gives us this great gift only for those who want it. All you have to do is desire it, and it's yours. It goes on to say, the first plane of the human acts changed into divine in my will has already been done by me. I left it as though suspended, and the creature, except for my dear and inseparable mama, knew nothing. This was necessary. If man did not know the way, the door, the rooms of my humanity. How could he enter inside of me and copy what I did? Now the time has come for the creature to enter into this plane and do also something of her own within mine. What is the wonder if I called you as the first one? Besides, it is so true that I have called you as the first, since it is no other soul, though dear to me, have I manifested the way to live in my will, the effects of it, and the wonders and goods which the creature operating in the supreme volition receives. Check as many lives of saints as you want, our books and doctrines. In none of them will you find the prodigies of my volition operating in the creature and of the creature operating in it. At the most, you will find resignation, union of wills, but in not one of them will you find the divine will operating in her as she in it. This means that the time had not come in which my goodness was to call the creature to live in this sublime state. Even the way I make you pray cannot be found in anyone else. The way we pray, putting our I love yous and everything he created, that's a different way to pray. People didn't pray that way in the past. We didn't know about acts and rounds and divine rule. We didn't know that God can do divine acts within us. So our whole way of praying now is so different than people of the past when we come to know about his divine will. Therefore, be attentive. My justice demands this. My love is delirious. So my wisdom disposes everything in order to obtain the intent. It is the rights, the glory of creation that we want from you. My daughter, how beautiful it is to see a soul fusing herself in my will. As she fuses herself in it, the created heartbeat takes its place and life in the uncreated heartbeat and forms a single one, running and beating together with the uncreated heartbeat. This is the greatest happiness of the human heart, to palpitate in the eternal heartbeat of its creator. My will makes it fly, and the human heartbeat flings itself into the center of its creator. So what a great gift, how merciful God is to us, how much he loves us to choose us to live in this time in history when we can receive this great gift.
Amen.
Today I was reading a little story. There's a French mystic, her name is Martha Robin. And one time she shared, I don't know whether it was a vision or meditation, it was about the lady, a woman who caught on the scene when in the adultery, and everybody, you know, they were like condemning her, pointing fingers at her. And Jesus, he was writing something on the ground. And Martha Rubin, she said that he was writing all the sins of the people that were condemning her. And one man, a Pharisee, he came up to Jesus and he looked at what he was writing on the ground and he saw all his sins. And then he was so afraid that Jesus might reveal this, you know, tell his sins to everyone. So he was very petrified, and Jesus looked at him and he just looked at him with compassion, but, you know, he forgave him. So he left. So one by one, they came and they saw all the sins of their sins, but they weren't able to see the sins of previous person. So that's how really he teaches how Jesus is so forgiving and merciful. And it also teaches us how we should be so humble and not judgmental towards anybody. The passage that I'd like to share today is from volume one. This is when Louisa just started to getting, you know, all the sufferings and pain from Jesus. She wants to be hidden, but now she starts to be like revealed to her family members, and they were so concerned with her health, and they want to like make her see doctors and do all this kind of treatments. And it was such a pain for her. And this is what Jesus told to Louisa. Do not want to afflict yourself because of this. What I want from you is that you abandon yourself in my arms as if you were dead. Until you keep your eyes open to look at what I am doing and what the creatures do and say, I cannot operate freely upon you. Don't you want to trust me? Don't you know how much I love you and that everything I allow, either through creatures or from demons or directly from me, is truly for your good and serves for nothing but to lead the soul to that state of to this day for which I have chosen her. Therefore, I want you to remain in my arms with your eyes closed, without looking at and investigating this or that, trusting me completely and letting me operate freely. If then you want to do the opposite, you will lose much time and you will come to oppose that what I want to do with you. As for creatures, use profound silence, be benign and submissive with everyone. Let your life, your breathing, your thoughts and affections be continuous acts of reparations to placate my justice, offering me along with them the bothers from creatures, which will not be few. So I was reading it. I really learned that we always have to ask Jesus to forget ourselves, because his love and his suffering that he went through for us, it was so much greater than ours. And he also says that the bothers from creatures, we can use it to offer to God to repair those sins. And we always have to trust in God, because God brings out all the goodness out of everything. And we also should not lose our peace, because that's very important. And trusting him is, we gotta only trust in him, because when we resign, it renders the soul radiant and it keeps all other passions in their place. So trusting in God in all circumstances, whether we think it's bad or good situation, we gotta remember that that everything happens for our good and for the good of all people. That it also helps us to bring to the state that God has chosen us.
Thank you, Sister Gloria.
At the last judgment, you know, everyone will see everyone's life and everything everyone did. It says everything will be proclaimed before everyone. And when you think about that, if you're really in love with God and his mercy, you're going to want everybody to see how much he forgave you. You're going to love God so much, you want to proclaim his mercy to everyone and say, look what I did and he forgave me. That's what kind of love we're going to have. You're not going to be hiding yourself anymore. You're going to proclaim God's love and God's mercy to everyone else.
Right. You know, Sister Gloria, what you were just sharing with us, reflecting on, you know, the constant theme, I think, today of today's program has been trust and, of course, mercy and humility. We must be humble. You know, God actually gives us a bit of a paradox in volume two, April 3rd, 1899. Here's a little excerpt. Quote, "There cannot be true humility without confidence. Humility without confidence is a false virtue," end quote. So again, confidence, of course, is trust. And again, on the theme of humility, in Sister Faustina's diary, number 267, quote, she states, "He who wants to learn true humility should reflect upon the passion of Jesus," end quote. And we know how important the hours of the passion are. Through Luis's writings, Jesus says, "This is the quickest inroads into my passion, into my love for you, into my humanity." So it's all there for us, sisters, mother.
Yeah, this what you said, Peter, about humility and confidence, like a paradox. It's just reminded me. It's like you described a little child. I mean, a little child is confident in a love of others, right? And also humble, like he doesn't think of himself, but you know, it didn't like kind of constructed himself, but thinks about the others. So when we have this perspective, like thinking about ourselves, being concentrated on ourselves, it's kind of like having a chicken perspective, like only looking these grains of corn, you know, and trying to pick them up and like fighting with other chickens and all. And yeah, kind of like, you know, only thinking about ourselves. And it just reminds me, there's a saying in Croatia, is an old saying, it says, like, trust in yourself and in your own horse. I mean, it's funny when you say it in Croatian, it has a rhyme. But yeah, you know, like how old people in a village kind of like, yeah, I mean, we have other better sayings, but this one, it's just like, a kind of like opposite of what we were saying about trusting God. So, I mean, you know, how many bad decisions people make even nowadays, because you know it's all about, you know, trust in yourself, be confident, you know, in yourself, you can do it by yourself, like you don't need others and stuff like that. And I mean, children are indoctrinated from very young age to, you know, believe in all these things, and you know, in cartoons, in media, in movies. Yeah, it's like a very, very strong deceit by evil, by Satan. And I was just thinking also, I was reminded when Mother and Jacinta were mentioning Maria Valtorta and Judas. So he was really kind of a person trusting in himself and his own plans and ambitions. But I've read also that Jesus told to Maria Valtorta, do you want to know who's the apostle that I love the most? I think I said it already one time. It was Judas, because like Jesus knew he's going to betray him. He's not going to trust him. At the end, he's going to make a suicide. But however, like he was giving him then even more and more his love, you know, all his graces, although he knew he's gonna be, you know, betrayed in a most horrible way. So you would expect that Jesus would say, okay, I loved Saint John or Saint Peter, but no, it was Judas. So it's like even the existence of hell is God's mercy. That's kind of very, very puzzling thing. So it seems to me like also more and more we know about the divine will, and it's like more and more we know about the divine mercy, the lesser we have the chicken perspective. So yeah, I was just reading in the volume 21, May 18, 1927. This is really like God gives us everything. His mercy is really unfathomable. So it says, the living in my will is admirable, is continuous prodigy, is the bearer of all goods, is the seed that multiplies to the infinite. Its fecundity is unreachable, and therefore it is longed for by the earth and by all heaven. It is the victory of God over the creature and the victory of the soul over her creator. How beautiful it is to see the greatest one, the supreme being, the eternal majesty, sing victory together with the littleness of the creature, and by virtue of this divine will, engage in a contest, the great and the little, the strong and the weak, the rich and the poor, and both be victorious. This is why I yearn so much that my divine will be known, and that its kingdom come, to let the creature win and to place her as though at my level. I mean, the mercy of God is incredible. He wants to place us at his own level, you know, to become like little gods. Without my will reigning in the creature, this cannot happen. There would always be distance between me and the creature. She would be the one who loses, nor would she ever be able to praise and sing victory. The work of our hands would not have our likeness. So it's really incredible how Mother said, I just feel like, you know, praising God that I live in this time after he gave to the first one, to Lisa, the gift of living in the divine will, and he wants to give it to all of us. It's incredible. Thank you.
It is. And thank you, Sister Dora, for the chicken analogy and for the confidence in the horse. And, you know, Village has a lot of truth and a lot of really positive information that can be very constructive. You know, it's interesting. You said it's an old Croatian saying. Can you repeat? Do you have it within your memory banks? That wedding vow that you said is sort of not used today because of modernism, but was it was beautiful. What was used in the past?
Yeah, I will repeat it, but actually the truth is it is not done anymore, like kind of, right. Maybe
but it was.
In some villages.
That was the important thing. With the chickens and the horse.
Yeah, the vow is, so like when the couple is getting married, so the priest puts a cross in front of them, and they both put their hands on the cross, like one on top of each other. And they make a vow one to another, like kind of like they are a cross of one another, but the cross that they embrace and that they love, you know, like always in good and evil, you know. And then so it is supposed to be the custom that they bring that cross to their home, you know, putting in a place of, you know, where it can be venerated. And then as a family, when they will have children, they pray, you know, together in the evening in front of that cross. Yes. Beautiful. Yeah, we have to pray that it be like that.
It also, I think, serves as a reminder, too, that, you know, Lord, I know you said there's going to be crosses with this relationship also, but allow these crosses to make me stronger. That's beautiful. Sister Scholastica, hello.
Hello. Hello, Peter. Hello, world. So today we've been talking about mercy and about trust. So I'll take a break from the animal kingdom. I'll come back later and I'll throw in a cow. But right now, let's go to a mercy. There was a passage from Volume 8, August 10th, 1908. And I'm going to go ahead and jump to the last paragraph, the beginning part. Jesus told Louisa, love never says enough. Even if love scourged the soul and tore her to pieces, those pieces would cry out love. Love never says enough. It is not yet content. It pulverizes those pieces. It reduces them to nothing. And into that nothing, it blows its fire and gives it its own shape. It mixes nothing human, but only the divine. And it is then that love sings its glories, its braveries, its prodigies, saying, I'm content. My love has won. It has destroyed the human and built the divine. So right there already, it says love never says enough. And that's exactly what mercy is. God never says, okay, enough. You've done this too many times. Like, forget it. If you want mercy, get out of here. No, he's constantly showing us mercy and love and forgiving us and giving us always a second chance and a third chance and so on and so forth to pick ourselves up and to try again, to walk down the path of righteousness towards heaven and following his laws and decrees. And then when I mentioned the cow story, it was actually today, 8 years ago, when the monks were founded. Today was their founding day. And he, on our way back home driving, it was nighttime, we came across a cow in the middle of the road. And so we kind of trying to drive, and I move over to the left, it followed me to the left, I move on to the right, and so on and so forth. But then finally, I realized, the cow can't see because it's dark and it needs our lights. So I stayed on the right side of the road and I just drove very slowly behind this cow. And then eventually we came to a field and it just wandered off on its own merry way. And it made me think the cow didn't know us, and yet the cow trusted us to help it get home. So I was thinking, we know God, and God knows us inside and out more than we know our own selves, of course, because he created us. And he knows what we think and what our tendencies are. So imagine, like with God, like we actually have a greater chance of trusting him, knowing that he'll take care of us and he'll help us to be able to be with him one day in heaven.
Amen. Got about a minute, Mother. Any final thoughts on this program?
Well, I think you mentioned. I found earlier, a really beautiful act of consecration, act of total abandonment to the will of God from Faustina's diary. Can I read that, Peter, maybe to close it off?
Absolutely.
Okay. It says, Jesus host, whom I have this very moment received into my heart, through this union with you, I offer myself to the Heavenly Father as a sacrificial host. abandoning myself totally and completely to the most merciful and holy will of my God. From today onward, your will, Lord, is my food. Take my whole being, dispose of me as you please. Whatever your fatherly hand gives me, I will accept with submission, peace, and joy. I fear nothing, no matter in what direction you lead me. Helped by your grace, I will carry out everything you demand of me. I no longer fear any of your inspirations, nor do I probe anxiously to see where they will lead me. Lead me, O God, along whatever roads you please. I have placed all my trust in your will, which is for me love and mercy itself.
Amen. Oh, beautiful. Well, you've been listening to the School of Mary Animal Kingdom this week. And, we've really enjoyed it. Going to end with what we repeated in the beginning, what we mentioned in the beginning. It's Article 67 of the Catholic Catechism. Quote, it is not so-called private revelation's role to improve nor complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help us live more fully by it in a certain period of history. End quote. We hope this program has helped. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, Mother and Sisters. Love everyone. God willing, see you next Thursday. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye.